This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open-line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now, with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
I dare you. Have you ever heard anybody say that, either to you or someone close to you? I dare you. How about saying that to God? Have you ever heard anybody say that to God? I have, for all practical purposes. Maybe not in those exact words, but nearly those words, and certainly by their actions. Daring God. That's what we want to talk about today here on Viewpoint, and just how dangerous is deception. Because deception, you see, is directly related to daring God, and daring God directly related to a deceived mind and heart. And so today on Viewpoint, we want to unfold that a little bit, try to get a handle on it in our own hearts, in our own lives, because in reality, very few people would ever say that they have dared God or tried to dare God. But in reality, in our time, daring God has become, well, almost a national pastime. A national pastime. And so we're going to see, over the course of this program here today, we're going to see a number of what I believe are high-profile situations in which either in our country or other countries or throughout the world, we literally are daring God. Daring God to what? Well, daring God to act. To act in what way? Do we use the term daring God to do something good or positive? Do we dare other people in order that something good or positive may come? No. The dare actually usually relates to something negative. There would be a negative response. When we say, I dare you, we're saying, you would not even think of doing such a thing if you would consider the consequences, right? So today on Viewpoint, we're going to be talking about that. I hope that you have had a delightful weekend, and indeed, it has been a most blessed time, encouraging, strengthening in so many ways, personally and privately, and in our broader family, and I hope it has been for you. But the reality is, in our world, and even in our country, as expressed in very public ways, there have been the most incredible, outrageous darings of God taking place. And so we're going to share those here on the program today. Now, before we get to that, I was just asked today by one of our listeners who had called in and ordered a couple of copies of our latest book, King of the Mountain. And she wanted to know what the response has been to our plaintive cry, so to speak, for God's people, our listeners, and concerned citizens of our country, and concerned believers to our cry for financial support. It went out over the past week or so. I think it's three times that I made it very apparent that we were in a very, very significant financial lurch in a practical sense, because when your office manager comes to you and says you're at zero in the bank account, and I ask, well, how about the bills? Are they paid? And the answer is the zero in the bank account accounts for the bills being paid. In other words, we are totally at zero. And so that is what I brought before you, indicating that if something didn't change rather radically and rather quickly, that we would be faced with some, well, decisions that we would rather not have to make, which could very well change the complete, not just focus of this ministry, but could actually cause us to perhaps conclude, well, maybe God is through with what he has called us to do, and these 20 years have completed the course as the Apostle Paul had said, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. Well, we've tried to do that. And certainly, we don't hold on to this ministry and this radio broadcast tightly. Rather, it is God's ministry. It's His radio program, and I happen to merely be a voice for Him. Now, if you value the program and you would very much like to keep it on the air, not only for yourself, but for those across our own country and across the seas, then I would urge you to become a partner with us. Interestingly, over the weekend, we received a $200 gift from Germany. From Germany. You see, it's interesting that there are people all over the world who are, well, deeply moved by this program. They believe it's like an anchor for their souls. Whether it's in Norway, whether it's in the UK, whether it's in Germany, or a couple of weeks ago, Russia, New Zealand, Australia, Canada. I mean, it's amazing. Pakistan, India, Africa. I can't tell you how many emails I've received from India, Pakistan, and Africa just in the last several weeks. Indeed, our message is getting out, but friends, I tell you that it is going to be up to God's people who have sufficient resources to enable the message to continue to get out. So, here's the deal. I'm not going to make any special promises to you. That would not be a proper way to do things. I do not believe that that is a proper way for genuine Christian ministries to raise resources. No. We need to come straight out very cleanly, very clearly, and say what the need is. And if God moves upon your heart, fine. If He does not, fine. But if He does, don't walk away from it. Whatever you do, don't walk away from it. If He does move on your heart, that would not be good, either for you or for us, quite frankly. And if you have a spouse who listens to the program, you might want to do what my wife and I do when we feel that God might be speaking to us, and we'll look to one another and say, what has the Lord said to you about giving and about an amount? Normally, it's very obvious to us that God is wanting us to do something personally. And so we look to one another and say, either Kathy says to me or I say to her, what is God saying to you? And I give a figure, or she'll give a figure, and almost invariably they're identical. And that's been all the way from $50 to $1,000 and occasionally more. So you might consider doing that as well. We'll be back with you to talk about daring God, friends. It's not a pretty picture. In fact, it's profoundly dangerous.
Believe it or not, God has a secret. It's a life-changing, destiny-determining secret. It is God's secret because the Bible says it is. Yet, God wants to disclose His secret to all who will seek it. Discovering this secret unlocks all of God's blessings and promises, both on earth and for eternity. Unfortunately, this secret has been nearly lost over the past two generations, even in our churches, yet recovering it is America's only hope. That is why Chuck Chrismeyer's new book, The Secret of the Lord, is critical for this unique moment of history. A prominent pastor calls The Secret of the Lord compelling, a must-read for every Christian who loves America. Get your copy of The Secret of the Lord today, just $20 for this hard-bound, hope-giving book. Call 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA, or order online. SaveUs.org. That's SaveUs.org. So important is God's secret that it is God's final message to our planet. Get your copy today.
Daring God. That's what we're talking about here on Viewpoint today, daring to talk about daring God and just how dangerous is deception and daring God. I tell you, this was precipitated by an article that came out yesterday. This came from Christian News. And when I got the message, it deeply, deeply grieved me. Now, the reason it deeply grieved me was twofold. Number one, because it so contravenes everything that our country has ever stood for or believed. And secondly, it is coming from a city in which I and my wife lived for 30 years, where I met my wife, where we attended many, many years the Rose Parade, the famous Rose Parade that made its way down Colorado Boulevard in Pasadena, California, year after year after year. Many of my friends were part of the Rose Parade behind-the-scenes leadership. It was a big deal to be part of the Tournament of Roses team. But here's the announcement. Live same-sex wedding to be part of New Year's Tournament of Roses parade. Friends, I hope they not only don't have global warming, but that they have a global freeze-out on that day. I really do. This is horrendous. Two homosexual men are set to wed on New Year's Day during the historic Tournament of Roses parade as they ride a float sponsored by the AIDS Healthcare Foundation. Now, they submitted an application in October as the foundation was offering a chance to be part of their float. It was the organization's third appearance at the 125-year-old parade. Mr. LeClaire and his partner, Aubrey Lutz, both in their 40s, run Studio DNA Salons, a chain of hair salons in the Los Angeles area. After texting a proposal to Lutz, the men were selected 5 weeks later to be featured on the float that celebrates same-sex marriage in light of the Supreme Court's ruling overturning key parts of the Defense of Marriage Act. According to the reports, these two men will ride a wedding cake-shaped float entitled Dreams Come True, which will also bear the motto, Love is the Best Protection, referring to the global AIDS epidemic. The AIDS Healthcare Foundation say that the float is meant to demonstrate the role marriage can play in reducing HIV infections among homosexual men. The Pasadena Star News, which I subscribed to for 30 years, reports that LeClaire and Lutz will take their vows before the nearly 500,000 people who will line Colorado Boulevard on January 1st and millions of television viewers watching around the globe. LeClaire, who hails from South Africa, told ABC News that he also planned to read a quote from the late South African President Nelson Mandela during the event as a tribute. Why? Because Nelson Mandela, my dear friends, like Barack Hussein Obama, was a radical supporter of homosexual activity and homosexual marriage. And so, this gentleman writes, having my relationship recognized legally is already a dream come true. To be able to declare my love to the world at large in hopes of inspiring others to live proudly and authentically is an enormous honor, he said. Really? He said, I didn't imagine this could happen in my lifetime. However, many have characterized the float as propaganda and state that it's indicative of the continued moral downfall of the nation. Peter Barbara, of Americans for Truth about homosexuality told the Christian News Network, "This is what America has become. This float is symbolic of proud homosexual sin on parade for the whole nation to see. It is the acceptance and legitimization of the homosexual lifestyle. It's an effort by desperate sinners to rationalize their sin," he explained. And how do you rationalize your sin? You attach it to many noble things as you can. You call it marriage. You want it in the Tournament of Roses parade. You want it on the Muppets. You want it on every TV show that you can. It's all about forcing, if necessary, people to accept homosexuality as normative. And it will never be normative. It will always be sin. And LaBarbera went on to say that he's concerned about the direction in which the nation is headed and that fact that America will ring in the new year by flaunting its open rebellion against God. He said it's mocking God, but God is not or will not be mocked, said LaBarbera. The more we celebrate sin, the more we are in danger of declining in this society, because any society that leaves God behind and abandons the natural family and wholesome morality is a society headed for the dustbin of history. And that, unfortunately, he said, is where America is headed. And I add my affirmation to that and say where America is headed in hot pursuit. Hot pursuit of a hellish response from God, because God will not be mocked. What men sow, they will reap. And so I speak right now back across 2,700 miles from Richmond, Virginia to Pasadena, California, the city where I met my wife on the front steps of the Evangelical Covenant Church, whose own pastor turned homosexual years ago. I speak to that city. It has been somewhat of a model city for America. It has been a city of conservative and traditional and Christian values. It has been a city where the evangelical community has found a very strong connection and nexus. It's the city where the U.S. Center for World Missions is located. It's the city where Fuller Seminary has been located. It's the city where many prominent churches are located. And yet it's a city of only about 130,000 people. Yet it transmits the glorious Rose Parade for 125 years across the nation, and now we'll desecrate those 125 years with the most outrageous, in-your-face assault against the Creator that one could ever make. A very denial of the Creator's intent in the first place, and then putting the blessing for the future for this country and our children on that outrageous defiance of God's creation. I speak to the leaders of Pasadena, California, that if you do not reverse this pattern, if you do not reverse this decision, you can expect some form of judgment to come on your city. I do not call it upon your city. You can expect it to come upon your city, because God will not be mocked. What men sow and what cities sow, they will reap. When I came to Richmond, Virginia, you sent Pasadena, California, you sent your police chief here to try to correct problems in Richmond, Virginia. It was quite interesting The same police chief that served there when I was there, you sent to Richmond, Virginia, the birth city of America, to try to correct our problems. In Pasadena, California, I served and worked with Dr. John Perkins, who labored in that city to bring healing and restoration and Christian morality and salvation to Northwest Pasadena, a dear brother and friend. And when he heard that I was coming to Richmond, Virginia, he was so pleased and came here to speak into the life of this city. And now you, my dear friends in Pasadena, California, are desecrating the name of the Lord and those people who over so many years have sought to bring the blessings of God there on the West Coast, in and through the crown city of the San Gabriel Valley, Pasadena, California. I call you to repent and to do it immediately. I call you to change your decision before those men mount that float. Just how dangerous is deception? Do you want to find out? This is not something, friends, that we can play with. These are serious, serious issues. God apparently considered it such a serious issue with Sodom and Gomorrah that he called Abraham out of that city, told him to get out, or actually he told Abraham that what he was going to do to destroy the city and to take out his nephew Lot and his family. God sent an angel to take them out, and immediately the city was destroyed, and no remnant of that city has been found, only sulfur. As Jonathan Edwards said, the great preacher there in the 1700s at the first awakening of our country, he said, it is a dangerous thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Now, we don't like to think that God becomes angry, but he does. In fact, the scripture talks about his wrath coming up in his face. And with this kind of an egregious, in-your-face, outrageous presentation and inauguration through a parade that historically has attempted to communicate goodness and righteousness and wholesomeness to our country, to allow this to be presented and displayed publicly and notoriously across the seven seas and now the seven continents through television, I bring profound rebuke from the King of Kings. Repent. Repent. That means to turn. It means to change your mind and your heart forthwith and change your behavior before it is too late. Now, as if that is not enough, and some may think that's a little bit overkill, I think not. I think it's exactly what we need to be hearing, and it's exactly what the pastors of Pasadena should have been saying, the pastors in California should have been saying. And indeed, if indeed this headline from Israel National News, if this headline is anywhere near clear, this is something we ought to take heed to. And here is the headline. It's in the form of a question. Signs that the redemption is near? The redemption near? Now, I'm not going to go through the details of this article, looking at it from a Jewish perspective. But is the redemption near? And if so, there's going to be a lot of destruction before the redemption. They go hand in hand. Because God will not be mocked, my dear friends, either in 2013 or 2014. We'll be back. We're considering the past. We're confronting the present and present issues and preparing for the future right here on Viewpoint. And I want to encourage you from the standpoint that each one of us needs to be willing to take a stand. God does not want us to be rabble-rousers. He doesn't want us to run around the streets and carry placards and blaze bullhorns. That's not his way. That wasn't Jesus' way, and it's not our way. On the other hand, there are times when he does. As he spoke to Isaiah, he said, I want you to lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions. Show my people their transgressions. And I've got to tell you, on the Pasadena Tournament of Roses Committee and that foundation, I guarantee you there are many professing Christians. At least there always have been. And I remember the day when a member of the particular church that I was attending was the president of the Pasadena Tournament of Roses. I remember that vividly. It wasn't all that long before I actually removed from Pasadena and came to Richmond, Virginia. But these things are profoundly serious, and if indeed our redemption is drawing nigh, we need to take all the more care to the seriousness of these kinds of issues, don't we? Now, before we go further, I want to just quickly make available to you two books, which I believe will help you in speaking and preparing for these issues, so that you will be able to stand, and having done all to stand, stand, having your loins girt about with truth, and you will be able to walk in the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Not the knowledge of the culture, the knowledge of the holy. Now, the first book I want to make available to you is my book, Seduction of the Saints, Staying Pure in a World of Deception. You have never, ever read a book like this book. There's never been one written like this book. Guaranteed. This is a book for our unique moment in time. And it breaks down the whole concept of deception and seduction into various aspects so that it can be organized in our thinking, because it's a very difficult subject to talk about. The nature of seduction, the truth about deception, gateways to the deception, false gospels for synthetic times, and seducing spirits and doctrines. Now, underneath each one of those headings are a series of chapters that enable us to understand our times and to discern the nature of deception. Answering the question, can the saints be seduced? And the answer to that question is a clear yes. The Apostle Peter understood that. The Apostle Paul understood that. The Apostle John understood that. And even Jesus. They all warned the saints. They warned believers about deception and seduction. So this book is available to you for your gift of $18 to Save America Ministries. And I think you're going to find it very easy to read. You can read it in small bits and pieces as busy people need to read. That's how I write books, because I'm a busy person and I can't just sit down and read a book for hours on end. It's just not the way I can read books, and I read lots of books. So there you have Seduction of the Saints, your gift of $18 or more to Save America Ministries. The other book is The Secret of the Lord. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and to them and them only will he show his covenant. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. I tell you, when we dare God, when we even come close to daring God, whether or not we think we're intentionally and purposely daring him, even if we come close to it, you know what it reveals? It reveals we don't fear God. And if you don't fear God, you have cut yourself off from his blessings and maybe his salvation in itself. It is a dangerous thing to walk away from the fear of the Lord. And that book is a hardbound book. It is a $20 book. But here's what I want to do. It may be that you have one or both of these books, but if you don't have either of these books, I'm going to make a special offer to you today. Listen carefully. You will not find this offer on our website, so you will have to call or write. Here it is. Seduction of the Saints, that's $18. Secret of the Lord, that's $20. That would be $38. But for your combined gift of, for your combined gift of $30. Now, this is a really good deal. $30. I want to put both of these books in your hands. In fact, this is such a good deal, you might want to get several sets of these to give to others. Because people are struggling with this. Here it is again, Seduction of the Saints, an $18 book, and The Secret of the Lord, a $20 book. That's $38, but we're going to make it available to both of them today only, for your gift of $30 plus postage and handling, which would amount to $6 total. All right? $4 for the first book, $2 for the second book. That's how we do it. $30. Call us. 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling now. Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255, or call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Now, I want to move forward very quickly now with regard to this subject of daring God and just how dangerous is deception. There are several other applications. Since we were talking about the homosexual issue with regard to the Pasadena Rose Parade, and the homosexual wedding that was is scheduled to take place on that float on Wednesday morning. I want to move from that to a similar situation where a message just came out that Franklin Graham has expressed his disagreement with Pope Francis on the issue of homosexuality. And then we will also take a look at Michelle Obama and a tweet that she just sent out to the hostess of Good Morning America, Robin Roberts, today. These tie together. Again, these reveal further the daring of God. You say, well, how can a pope dare God? Well, the pope thinks he's the vicar of Christ. This is one of the terrible dangers of the papacy. The papacy believes that the pope, you see, is invested with the very Christ himself, the vicar, Christ in the flesh on the planet. Christ ascended back to the Father, remember? He said, as the Father sent me, even so send I you. But now, the papacy, the very concept of the papacy is that the Pope is indeed the vicar of Christ, or Christ in the flesh. Now, if you believe that you're Christ in the flesh, then it can lead you to believe that somehow your viewpoint is greater or equal to that expressed in the Scriptures, to God himself. And that, unfortunately, is what the Pope appeared to do. Franklin Graham is criticizing Pope Francis for his stance on homosexuality. The pontiff declared earlier this year, if a person is gay and seeks God and his goodwill, who am I to judge them? But Graham, the son of Reverend Billy Graham, says being gay is a sin in the eyes of God, and that unlike the Pope, he does not plan to soften his position. Now, I want to speak to that for just a very quick minute. It is not that someone may have some affinity or feel some affinity for the same sex, any more than some person may feel an affinity to become angry and to let it all out. That also is sin. We're not to be governed by our feelings or flesh, but by our spirit, and to control ourselves, self-control being one of the fruit of the Spirit. But unfortunately, what the Pope seemed to say or allude to was that if a person is a practicing homosexual, but also says they're seeking God and his goodwill, then who am I to judge them? All right, let's speak to the word judge. It may not be in the Pope's position to condemn to eternal damnation, for as the Scripture says, judgment is mine, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Judge not that you be not judged. On the other hand, Christians are supposed to judge one another. The Bible says so very explicitly. If you will judge those within, you will not be judged by those without. God will judge those without. You are to judge those within the body or who purport to be part of the body. That does not mean we are to condemn them to eternal damnation. We are to judge their behavior. We are to discern their behavior. And we are to determine whether or not it is characterized by biblical righteousness or unrighteousness, whether it is sin or whether it is the pursuit of the Holy Spirit in connection with the Word of God. And if it is not, then we are to discern unrighteousness. If you cannot do that, if you cannot discern unrighteousness according to the authority of Scripture, then what in the world is Scripture there for? It is the standard, my friend. It is the plumb line for you and for me. So here we have now a Pope who has come out pandering to the culture of our time, playing games, daring God. When God himself has called homosexuality this practice an abomination.
When Jesus described the times leading to his return, he warned that pestilence would ravage the earth. And we're now in those times, and medical experts are warning of plagues, viruses, and life-threatening conditions for which antibiotics are either losing effectiveness or have no effect. MRSA is one of those even ravaging our hospitals. So what can we do? Amazingly, a new technology called Silver Saul has recently been discovered, and this technology is so good and so effective in responding to these conditions that it's even been patented, and it comes in both liquid and gel form. For the safety of your family, I want to urge you to look at Silver Saul. Go to our website now, saveus.org, and get more information. Then order yours today. That's saveus.org or call 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Do it today. Don't delay.
Daring God, it just happens to be one of the most dangerous things that you can possibly do as a human being. For to dare God is to arrogate yourself in effect, to be equal with God or greater than God. Quite frankly, that's what the Roman Catholic Church did in its doctrine when it said that the authority of the magisterium of the Roman Catholic Church is greater than that of the Word of God itself. That, my friends, is daring God. Now let's move beyond that, though, to Michelle Obama. Today, the First Lady, Michelle Obama, tweeted her support to Good Morning America host Robin Roberts after Roberts went public about her relationship with her girlfriend, Amber Lane. Here's what the First Lady said. "I am so happy for you and Amber. You continue to make us all proud." And she signed the tweet, M-O, indicating that she herself wrote the message and not a member of her staff. Wow. Here's someone who has come out and once again defamed and defaced the righteousness of America, that claims the motto, "In God We Trust," has defiled the name of God by defaming the Word of God and defiling the creation of God through an open testimony to homosexual or lesbian practice. And the First Lady of the United States praises her. Now, let me tell you what the Bible says about that. You didn't know that the Bible spoke about that, did you? But it does. In fact, it speaks very poignantly about that. Here's what it says in Romans chapter 1. It's talking about people who, as they have gone into a reprobate mind and professing themselves to be wise, they become fools and they change the glory of the incorruptible God into the image of uncorruptible man. They're given over to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who change the truth of God into a lie and start worshiping the creature more than the Creator. God gives them up to vile affections, for even their women change the natural use into that which is against nature. That's exactly what Michelle Obama praised Robin Roberts for. Likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one to another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of the error which was meet. This is exactly what Phil Robertson did on GQ last week when the network A&E said bye-bye to him, but then discovered the outrage of many in America and decided to turn tail because it was going to cost them dearly for daring God and standing up for gross, unbiblical behavior. Phil Robertson stood for this principle. Now, when you get to the end of Romans chapter 1, you find this. Verse 32 is talking about people now who are in this society, this kind of society, and who are either participating in these actions or are approving and going along with those who do, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them or approve those that do them. Michelle Obama just put herself directly in the crosshairs of the God of creation and dared him to do something about it. I tell you, my dear friends, there's coming a moment in time when this nation is in this crucible of unrighteousness, daring the God of creation. There comes a moment in time when his anger rises up in his face. A loving God, yes, and he will not be mocked. Now, Israel's involved in the same problem. Not about homosexuality this time, although they've got the same problem over there. Here's the latest from Israel today. Israel to fund all abortions for women 20 to 33 starting next year. Another 6,300 women are expected to have a state-funded abortion next year at a cost of about $4.6 million. Regardless of the circumstances, starting next year, the health officials said. They hope to make eligibility for state funding universal in the future. Wow. State funding for all abortions. Israel. The very people to whom God gave his covenant, to whom God delivered the oracles on Mount Sinai. You talk about daring God. It's an outrage, an utter, total outrage. And why would Israel do this? Because they want to be like the other nations. That's why. They want to be like everybody else. It's like nations are teenagers. Nations want to be like everybody else, just like our teenagers do. And it destroys their good judgment. It destroys their common sense, and it will absolutely destroy their faith. Now you know why it's so dangerous, my friends, to dare God and put your children in the fiery furnace of ungodly education. You are literally daring them to survive it and to hold any level of faith. Is there anyone who is listening? Now, again, back to Israel. And this is a biggie. John Kerry, our Secretary of State, to return to Palestinian territory on January 1st to push for peace. As his first diplomatic move in the new year, he will visit Jerusalem and Ramallah January 1st. Now, what's this all about? To broker a two-state solution? He wants to agree to a framework for an interim accord ahead of a deal that would launch another year of talks aimed at a full-blown peace treaty in 2015. He says, we are closer than we have ever been in Israel to Israel and a Palestinian peace. Then, in another article from Israel National News of Rosh Sheva, Kerry to force security plan on Netanyahu. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry appears to be pressing a national plan devised in Washington, D.C., that is in Obamaville, upon Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The proposal comes as part of peace talks with the Palestinian Authority and includes uprooting Jewish communities from the Jordan Valley. Now, Friday of last week, we talked about this, and Mark Langfin, an analyst for Arutz Sheva, called this plan a death trap for Israel. A death trap. Now, why a death trap? Because it would strip away all of Israel's strategic territory and protection. Deputy Minister, member of the Knesset, Ophir Akunis, strongly rejected the idea of uprooting communities in the Jordan Valley. He said, we need to say it will never happen. When the Jewish nation returned to its homeland after the exile in Egypt over 3,000 years ago, as recorded in the Bible, it entered through the Jordan Valley. We must not agree to concessions, withdrawals, or expulsions, not in the valley and not in any other place in our country, he said. Well, but that is exactly what our president is doing through our Secretary of State. He tried it through Hillary Clinton, and it didn't work. And it's not just a Democratic president who's tried this. George W. Bush tried it through Condoleezza Rice. You may recall a full court press in the last year and a half before the end of Bush's second term. But they weren't able to pull it off. Bill Clinton, a previous Democrat, thought he could pull it off. He didn't. And now Barack Obama believes he's in the driver's seat, and John Kerry has been lifted to the preeminent spot of Secretary of State to make it happen. At the same time, Martin Indyk, U.S. head envoy over the peace talks, has met with senior Israeli Defense Force generals in recent days, urging them to accept the deal. In other words, this is a full court press to withdraw from the Jordan Valley in stages over the next 10 years. The report comes just prior to Kerry's offensive in January to push Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to adopt his plan. Langfin, the analyst from Arutz Sheva, said Martin Indyk has planned the annihilation of Israel for decades. Now, you say, why are you bringing this up in the context of daring God? Well, here's why. God said to Abraham, back in the book of Genesis, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I will bless those that bless you, but I will curse those that curse you. Do you have any idea, friend, what it means to be cursed by the Creator? Do you have any idea what the implications of that are, both temporally and eternally? Jonathan Edwards was right when he said it is a dangerous thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. God is a loving God, but he's also just. He's a God of mercy, and he's a God of truth. He's a God of compassion, but he is also the Lord of hosts, the head of the armies of the Lord. And you do not want to dare him, because he is God, and you're not. And neither is our country. Neither is our president. Neither is the Pope. Neither is the Prime Minister of Israel. Neither is the Secretary of State of the U.S. or the head of the United Nations, or any other group. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Thanks for joining us here today on Viewpoint. I hope this has been helpful in understanding the tremendous threat that is here before us, both on these shores and around the world. Again, the special offer, Seduction of the Saints and The Secret of the Lord, $38 worth of books for your gift of $30 to Save America Ministries, plus $6 postage and handling. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Become a partner, friends. This is the moment of truth. If you value what we're doing, send your gifts to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.